T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Plenty to get to with Paul. We've got an Amherst recap. We've got a Kyle Okposo contract.
And also, J.J. Paterka just scores like, Paul, does he score like 30 goals? In the World Championships. I'm seeing clips on Twitter like every 10 seconds.
He's the third leading scorer in the tournament right now, so okay. And fourth in goals. So he's got 10 points in 8 games. Kind of a little bit like what Cousins did last year for Canada when he had 13 points in 10 games. So Paterka has a chance to match that or even do better, you know, if he wants to. So... yeah, he basically is the offense for Germany. 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points. Only played 8 games. He's a +8. And he's 1 point out of being the second leading scorer in the tournament. And he's 2 points out of leading the tournament. And Kubalik is the leading scorer, and he's done. So he will finish with 12 points. TJ Tynan of Team USA is the guy at 11, 1 point ahead of Paterka.
All right. Good stuff from Paterka. World Championships rolling on. Paul, we've got an Amherst game to recap. Let's start, though, with Kyle Okposo, because that's the big news for the parent club. He signs another 1-year deal, $2.5 million. At the end of the season, I think Don Granato had expectations that Okposo would be back. The Sabres indicated they'd be interested in bringing him back. And here he is on a 1-year deal. He had a good story to tell about how his family was a big part of this and that they're excited for him, too. You know, You're a father, you're a husband, you've got a family to think of. So Okposo back for 1 season. For anybody that might have doubts about it, how do you feel about it? You feel like it's a make sense kind of move?
Yeah, $2.5 million, which isn't, you know, crazy money or anything like that. And just the leader that he is, the players wanted him back. It's as simple as that. And so did the management. And he said it didn't take long. He said he knew his teammates wanted him back. And, you know, he said he was putting his son Odie to bed when he got the call that the deal was done. And he told his son that he was going to come back for another year. And he was very emotional as he was relaying this story. And he said his reaction was worth it. And he said sometimes he forgets how much it means to them. And then about 20 minutes later, he said he was out for a walk. And his wife and daughter came by in the car. I guess they were practicing for a dance recital for his daughter. And he said, you know, they had a similar reaction. He told them, and as they were driving away, he heard her scream so loud because they were so happy. And he said, so his family just was a huge factor in the decision.
Well, that's good to hear that the family's on board. For the players on board, the coach on board, the GM, everybody seems to like this idea. The most interesting thing to come out of it, Paul, might be the way that Okposo spoke. And, you know, we've talked about it to start the morning, basically, that I feel like he's given me an opportunity to now say, hey, the time is now to really start having expectations for this team. Now the captain of the team is ready to say it. And I think it's an indication that the Sabres' mindset as a group next year will be to embrace these expectations, to not run from them, and to start to view this as the window opening.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He goes, our window is starting to open. And they have to, you know, they have to embrace it. He said, yeah, there is some unfinished business, but he said he just thinks they're scratching the surface and they're not very far from reaching the top of the mountain. And he goes, when you have goals, he goes, the goals can't be, well, we should get, let's get two more points than we got last year, you know, or he goes, now he goes, you have to set your goal. Your goal has to be making the playoffs, not being 2 points better. Your goal has to be winning the Stanley Cup, and you don't touch that goal from here on out now. But he says you also don't let it weigh you down from the every day to the season. He says you take every day to get better, and that's when he said, but the time is now. Our window is opening, and we have to be prepared for that, and everybody has to come better, starting with him, and then the expectations. And that's the expectation, he goes, we have to set as a hockey team.
I like that Okposo, too, is like, he's out there willing to say that, and he's on a one-year deal, right? So it's a little different than, I guess, if the GM or the coach had said it. So I guess, Paul, like, you don't hear Adams or Granato, I guess, put it as frankly as Okposo did yesterday with what the expectations are and embracing them. But I'd imagine that the way he sounded is the way the whole organization is kind of treating things going forward.
Yeah, if you recall back on locker cleanout day, these players were basically talking about we're making the playoffs next year. And they believed it. I mean, they weren't just sitting there talking. I mean, they were just in conversation, well, next year when we make the playoffs type of a thing. Not, well, next year we hope it's going to happen. I mean, you guys said that, but for the most part, you heard, all right, we're making the playoffs next year. You know, this is over. And, you know, I've sat here for 12 seasons following the World Championship with Sabres in it. And, you know, I never figured that would be happening. You know, I thought, well, and I suppose that could still happen. You player, if you get eliminated in the first round, you can still send players to the World Championship. Still, if you got good enough players and they want to hold spots open for them. That type of thing. But for the most part, you know, I think the Sabres are thinking sending guys to the World Championship and all that kind of stuff is over because we're going to be busy.
So, Paul, one next step on this conversation about, you know, if Okposo says the window's opening, it's time to embrace expectations. You know, this is a bit of an exercise in what everybody thinks about it. What would Kevin Adams do? What kind of move to you would indicate they're not limiting themselves? They are deciding to lean into expectations, to just, hey, just making it by 2 points or just getting in isn't necessarily the goal. The goal has to be bigger. The window has to be opening. What kind of offseason does that look like for Adams?
Well, the first thing is getting that top four defenseman. And if you're going to get a top four defenseman, that's going to entail losing some of the young players. I mean, you're not getting them for free. And, you know, so you're going to be if you're going to be trading for that guy, you are going to have to give up some of your young talent to get that guy. And he's been very reluctant to really give up any of the young talent, but he's stockpiled a lot of it now. And, you know, he might have to give up, you know, not might have to. If the type of defenseman that I think he needs, he's going to have to give up something. And maybe a number one pick or something like that down the road. So that's what will look different, I think, is, you know, somebody from this group, some youngster and whoever that might be. Because I think, first of all, you got to know who we're talking about as far as the trade before you can evaluate, well, I'd give up this guy for that. Or but it's going to be, you know, one of their prospects that they don't want to give up. But if you want to get better as a team and get that defenseman, which I think they absolutely have to do, you know, all right, you've stockpiled the group, and sometimes you stockpile it so you have currency. I always call trade value currency. And, you know, you want to have a deep organization and you want to be able to use it, but all these forwards they got, they can't have them all. If they all hit, which they won't, I mean, you're not going to get all of them to hit. You're not that good. But if they all hit, they're all not going to play. I mean, they'd have too many. So You've got a little of this young currency that you can use to get that defenseman.
Yeah. Like, the right type of trade. Like, what sounds good to people right now? You trade for a top four defenseman.
It's a trade that hurts, right? It's a trade that we're going to rave about Jiří Kulik coming up in a minute, and they trade him. I'm going to think, ooh, that hurts, but that's the caliber of player you're talking about adding.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, Paul, like one of those four. And maybe it doesn't even have to be Kulik or Savoy, but the four forwards that were first-round picks, right? Kulik, Savoy, Oslund, and Rosen. Like, the four of those guys that aren't yet here, I don't know. Like, the idea of trading one of those four this offseason, I feel like a lot of fans would be happy with that if it means, oh, I got a stud second-pair defenseman.
Yeah, again, you got to know the name before you can say, yeah, I'd make that deal. But, yeah, that's what... I think that's what you're talking about. You might have to give up Roseanne and a two, or Roseanne and a one, or something like that. To get the type of defenseman you need. And I think that's the type of trade that they need to make this team better.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. All right, Paul. So let's talk about some of those players who Sabres fans may have watched in the last two games down in Rochester. The games have been on MSG. Let's start with Matthew Savoy. It was his AHL debut. They dressed him for game two. What did you think of Savoy? A little bit of limited time? Did you see flashes? I mean, nobody scored any goals for the Amherst in the game, period. So, there's only limited success. But what did you see from Savoy?
I think a little bit of nerves, which is obviously going to be expected from a 19-year-old. It was kind of funny, the Amherst put out as they're coming onto the ice, they're high-fiving each other before they come on the ice, and who walks over to Savoy and gives him a shot in the shoulder? Kulik. It's the guy who got drafted same year he did. So I thought that was kind of cool. That's let's go. Come on, kid. I know you're the same age as me, but let's go, type of a thing. And Savoy, right away, he got open and he missed the net. And, after that, he was fine. I mean, he made some mistakes, but, he's 19 years old and that's going to happen. And, so it was, you could see he was feeling it out. I mean, he's going up against players who are bigger. He's going up against players that are faster, and he's going up against players that are smarter. And especially against Hershey, you got a veteran laden lineup. They're going to be a lot smarter than the players he's used to going up against in junior. So, he has to get used to that, used to the speed of the game, and all those things. And the Amherst know that. Kevin Adams knows that. Seth Appert knows that. And that's part of getting him into the game. And I think in game three, he'll be better. He'll know what to expect, and I think he'll be better in game three.
I think me and Jeremy maybe had the same reaction watching that game last night, tuning in to take a closer look at Savoy, and then Jiří Kulik for the entire game. It's just like, oh no, I'm the guy you should be watching. I mean, it felt like he could have had two goals easily in that game, Paul.
Yeah, he was flying. He was wide open. What a pass Rusick made. That's the pass Rusick made, if you're watching the game, folks, is what I talk about. He's nifty on offense. He went in, won the battle twice, had his back totally to Kulik, but knew exactly where he was, and threw a blind backhand pass right on the tape, and he was wide open. And they basically ran into a hot goalie last night. That's the game right there. I mean, their goaltender was awful in game one. Hunter Shepard, who's had a great season, had a great playoff. He was awful in game one, and he stole the show in game two. I mean, he only had to make 24 saves, but Amherst had some good opportunities on him. They had some wide open looks on him, and he made some great saves. Two schmozzles that everybody's in the crease banging at the puck, and he made sure it didn't get in. So, to me, that was the difference in the game. A couple of things. Hershey wanted to slow down Rochester, and they did. Rochester only got two power plays, which sometimes they go two for two on the power play and win the hockey game, but they weren't able to capitalize on the power play thanks to the best penalty killer, Hunter Shepard, and they ran into a hot goalie. It's simple as that. Sometimes that happens, and Their last loss was also 2-0. It was also on the road. It was in Syracuse. And the game after, they came home and they beat Syracuse 8-5. So we'll see how they respond to this one.
We talked Kulik. We talked Savoy. How about Rosen, Paul? What do you like about his game in these playoffs for him?
Last night was probably, you know, you didn't see much of him offensively. Again, I don't think he was awful. I didn't leave that game going, boy, was he bad or anything like that. But I didn't notice him all that much either, you know, offensively and that type of thing. So of all the games I've seen, and I did not see the two losses to Syracuse, that's the worst I've seen him play. But, again, I didn't leave thinking, saying, boy, he's got to be 1,000% better. I mean, he's got to be better. But he was, you know, he by no means was all awful. It was just a lot of it was the way Hershey was playing. Like when Rochester, they've pulled the goaltender for the last 208, and they couldn't get anybody inside the defense of Hershey. They got the puck in the zone, and they moved it. But basically, all they had was moving around the perimeter. That's all Hershey would give them. They would not let Rochester penetrate inside, even with an extra guy out there at a 6-on-5. So, you know, Rosen wasn't able to. Savoy was out there. He wasn't able to. Then, so a lot of it, give Hershey credit. They changed their plan, and it wasn't, you know, and Rochester still got some good chances out of it. But for the most part, you know, when they really had to, when they were killing penalties, where Rochester was very good in the power play, and at the end, 6-on-5, they made it very, very difficult on the Amherst to get inside.
All right, Paul, what do you think's next for the Sabres in terms of contracts? Is it Girgensons, Jost? I guess, like, how would you handicap the free agents they have and who they'll sign or whether or not they'll sign?
Should we consider
guys,
like Dahlin here, like guys that
Dahlin
could,
and Power,
be, could
right?
be getting extensions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they've already made decisions on what they want to do with Girgensons and Jost. Are they going to let them go to free agency and see what happens? Or are they going to make them offers and that type of a thing? So I think, you know, those decisions have probably been made, and you can start getting the parameters of a contract with Dahlin. I think the next season starts on July 1st, I believe. That's the way it used to be. I don't think it's changed with COVID. Some things have changed. I don't think that has. But you can start getting the parameters of a deal with Power and Dahlin and that type of thing. And once the next season, quote, starts, whatever date that is, and as I said, normally it's July 1st, that you can start negotiating and getting contracts, because he still has a contract for next season. That's why you have to wait. You can do those contracts. You can do extensions 1 year in advance, but you got to wait for that year to start. That's all. So, and you can be negotiating. So that's what I think is next. You know, I don't know what they're going to do with Jost. I thought he was so good when they picked him up on waivers, but I thought he was back to being Tyson Jost by the end, and they were sitting him, and I just thought his game had really gone down a little bit. So I don't know if I'm real anxious to do it or if I would rather maybe deal with calling, you know, getting a guy like Rusick up here and that type of thing. And Jost did not improve the penalty killing as much as I thought he should have or would have. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd be looking to re-sign him or not. And he's, you know, doesn't add size to the lineup. He's not, he doesn't add, well, you have a great face-off guy there, and he wasn't very good at killing penalties. So I don't know. I probably would take a pass on that.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Covering the Amherst series for us at our website, WGR550.com. We'll talk to him again next week as the series rolls on. Let's announce a winner.
Congratulations to Ian H. from Lancaster. He won our Friday foursome at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course, a $25 Encore golf gift card plus a box of Encore golf balls. There's still more chances for you to win the Friday foursome. Head over to WGR550.com to enter.
So a winner Ian H. from Lancaster. I'm looking at Hickory Stick at the website. I haven't played there in a couple years. They flipped the back and the front.
Recently?
Yes. I've heard that they flipped the back and the front. So I got to make the mental adjustment that the old 9 is now 18, the old 18 is now 9.
And you have to because that's a double green, right? And isn't 9 and 18 those holes?
Yeah, shared green.
So you know when you're standing on the tee box, but just make sure you're not on 9 hitting to 18 because there might be. That is one of the most nerve-wracking shots.
Number 9?
When there are people standing on the 18th green, you're hitting from 9.
Oh, yeah.
I could easily miss by 15 yards to the right, and then I'm shouting 4 when I'm going to be putting the next shot.
I filled in in a friends league on Monday. I'm like, oh, hey, nice to meet everybody. Okay, oh, we're all going to go out at once. Oh, okay, here we all are all on the 10th tee. We're going to go out for 9 holes. And, yeah, you guys go first. And I had to hit a tee shot in front of 12 people I'd never met before. And, man, the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going to – you know, it's like the old you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Is that more pressure than – everyone's standing around, or there are people for whatever reason, like sometimes for like acceptable reasons, that are just out there on the hole that are like within striking distance, like whether it's maintenance people working in the bunker. This happened to me recently where there were guys that worked at the golf course that were just, they were doing something to the bunker on the left fairway, probably like 250 yards out.
And they kind of waved you up?
They don't even wave you up. Like, they're just working and they've got probably headphones on or whatnot. And they're just working. And it's, okay, I guess we tee off here, right? Like, they're not stopping, it doesn't look like, so we just tee off.
Well, the best way to miss them is just to aim at them. That's then golf. That's what you do. here's how this person can be safe. Aim for that spot 250 yards away.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can enter the Friday Foursome Contest and be like Ian. Win a round of golf. He's going to send like a Hickory Stick. And if he wants to invite me and Joe, like, I'm just saying, Ian, let's be friends. No, you should probably give it to some of your other friends. It's okay. 803-0550 to join us, WGR550.com/contest to enter and try to be next week's winner of the Friday Foursome with WGR and Encore.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.